Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. So if you want to join us, please feel free to call in at 7 p.m. at 319-527-6204. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcoming the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
I am the creator. I am the maker of the universe. I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am he. Let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop this.
I am the one who sees a need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word,
and consider when God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but
I am.
And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
In your bed. Or in your bed. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. In Exodus 20 and 5, and the NIV says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, Elkanah, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Let us pray. Elkanah, you are a jealous God. I give you praise because of the restraint you have shown in my life each time I place something higher than you. Sometimes I look to another person to solve my problem or provide what I think I need rather than looking to you. But I know that your character as Elkanah feels dismissed or hurt. Yet your love as my Savior brings me mercy time and time again. I adore you, for you are strong, Elkanah. Yet you also show me grace and favor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681, and call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
You might be sitting there thinking to yourself,
hypocrites professing to be Christians, lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you, because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life when you don't know what to do. It seems like everything is going wrong, and you don't know how you'll make it through. Kindness for weakness, and didn't return your favor. Hold on, don't let go. I know someone who sits on high and looks down low. He's always there, standing by. He might be there when you want him, but he's always right on time.
Open your
heart and let Jesus come on in. Lord, have mercy. All you have to do is open up and let his
Spirit.
Honey.
Honey.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
I know life can be a blip sometimes. Seems like as soon as you get one step forward, it'll knock you back three steps. Listen here. You might be feeling that life is getting you down.
What a mighty God to serve.
Elkanai, which means the jealous God. You know how many times I have gone to a friend before seeking your presence or wisdom in a situation. You know how often I tried to bail myself out of trials or temptations rather than looking to you. Your favor and your hand have protected me, opening doors for me and granting me success. And yet I feel pride in what I misconstrued to be my own doing. Forgive me, voking your jealousy. Elkanai, forgive my insensitivity and sin. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, again at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will be here to conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, you can call in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Amen. In the meantime, I will play another selection. And after the selection, I will come back with our daily devotion. Praise God.
Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. But for world peace to spell, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counsel and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking the proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
Amen. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Sit Quietly with Me. Praise be to God. Scripture reading for this message is coming from Luke 12, 22 through 25, where it says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single life to his life? A single hour, excuse me, worrying can add a single hour to his life. Amen. Praise God. My second scripture is coming from Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, and it says, Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. And my third scripture reading is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and it says, We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, sit quietly with me, letting all your fears and worries bubble up to the surface of your consciousness. There, in the light of my presence, the bubbles pop and disappear. However, some fears surface over and over again, especially fear of the future. You tend to project yourself mentally into the next day, week, month, year, decade. And you visualize yourself coping badly in those times. What you are seeing is a false image because it doesn't include me. Those gloomy times that you imagine will not come to pass, since my presence will be with you at all times. When a future-oriented worry assails you, capture it and disarm it by suffering the light of my presence into that mental image. Say to yourself, Jesus will be with me then and there. With his help, I can cope. Then come home to the present moment where you can enjoy peace in my presence. To God be the glory. And I pray that this devotional message was a blessing unto you as it was to me. Amen. At this time, again, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening.
A plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now. Majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. Yes, Lord. And release your power. We need your power. And let your presence fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name.
need it. God wants to fix your problem. God wants to change your life. Worship your way out of this. Call on the Lord. He's mighty to save. He's mighty to heal. He's mighty to deliver. Did you call him? He'll come to your rescue and give you what you need. Hallelujah. That's your presence, Lord. Yes, Jesus. There's worship in this room tonight. Raise your voice and cry out to the Lord.
Yeah.
Come on, let's take it up, y'all. Take it up. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody can help us but you.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. Okay, let us pray. El Kanai, thank you for promising in your word that you will punish the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate you. You have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to offer mercy and to break the cycle of your wrath whenever a heart turns toward you. Thank you for being a jealous God, because that indicates the depth of your care. If you did not love me deeply, more deeply than I can even understand, you would not be jealous. What I did or did not do would not matter to you. Your jealousy assures me of your care. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will come with our Bible study class. And if you would like to join us, feel free to call in 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. Okay, I missed the... At this time, I will play another selection.
The heart of his spirit takes
coming back for a church without a spot.
To get into our lesson, who is my co-host, Barbara Amore, who's going to conduct our lesson for this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Yeah. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed. Thank you.
Amen.
I won't
amen.
Complain.
Amen. So good to hear your voice.
Yours too. I really missed you.
Missed you too.
Praise God. Man. Praise God.
Is anybody else on the line?
No, so far just you and I. I don't know what happened to First Lady.
Well,
she probably, yeah, she probably be on soon, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to open in prayer.
Amen.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, you of your humble servants come together to give you praise, glory, and honor. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, mm-hmm. giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before.
Yes.
Thank you for taking us through the day, Lord God, through the hard mm-hmm. times, through the good times, through the not so good times. Thank you for everything, God, because we know that you didn't have to do it. Bless your holy name. Lord, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. Thank you for your unconditional love, your grace, mercy, your favor, your generosity, Lord God, your kindness.
Yes.
We thank you for everything. We thank you for our friends, and we thank you for our enemies too, Lord God. So yes. We bless you. We adore you. Can't live without you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough for doing everything that you've done. And if you never do another thing, Lord, you've already done enough.
Okay.
Thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do. And what you're doing right now, in the matchless name of your precious son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God.
All right. So we're going to start our series again, resume our series again, Basic
Amen.
Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And
yes.
it's a popular systematic guide to understanding biblical truth. I'm not going to go over what we did before, but we're going to pick up from chapter 27. We were talking about Satan, and now we're talking about demons. And God says, what are demons like? You ready?
Oh, you went back to 28, 27. What are demons?
No, I didn't go back. We didn't start that yet.
Okay, so you're not going to start from where Pastor left off.
Well, I don't know where Pastor left off.
On page 192.
Oh, I wasn't here, remember?
Right. Oh, yes, yes, true, true. Okay. God bless you, First Lady. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Just got through the door.
Good evening.
Good evening. Praise God.
So okay. I got the impression that you weren't studying. That's why I was going to where we left off. So
no, we went through it. I'm just trying to figure where we were.
We on page 192, and we're at the second
paragraph.
Yes, of the responsibility. 4 was extended. So we're at the second.
But somebody told me y'all weren't doing the book, so I don't know.
Who said that?
Somebody
Who
said
that
we
somebody?
Weren't doing the book. Yeah.
Who somebody? We've been doing it.
We was doing it. Pastor was doing the lesson.
Now I know.
Otherwise, well, he did it different from what you usually do, but we were doing it.
Okay, we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to go back to page 192, is it?
Yes, 192. And
192. I'm going to start at the bottom of 191, the last paragraph.
Okay.
So, again, I don't know what's going on because I didn't read that yet. How can this evidence be evaluated? Here are two suggestions. First, we should discard phrases like demon possession and demon indwelling when referring to these concepts to believers, because we tend to read into these terms the same idea we have about spirit indwelling, i.e. a permanent residence in the believer. Neither Satan nor demons can permanently indwell a believer or ultimately have victory over him, even though they may dominate or control a believer's life for some time. A believer may be delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but the spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, 1 Corinthians 5:5. Did you guys get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever Satan or demons can do to a believer, and whether from without or within as their base of operation, their control cannot be permanent and eternal. John clearly declares that the evil one cannot touch the one who is born of God, 1 John 5:18. The word touch here involves the purpose of harming. Satan cannot harm the believer. John uses the word in only one other place, John 20:17, King James Version, and it means not a superficial touching but a grasping, clinging to, or holding on to someone. Satan can never hang on to the believer with the purpose of harming him, for that believer belongs eternally and irrevocably to God. Satan or demons may afflict and even control for a time, but never permanently or eternally. Any thoughts
Amen.
About that?
That was a blessing to read last week. I mean,
yes.
Such a blessing.
Why you say that?
You know, because we always think that, you know, a demon can, you know, take over and permanently control, but the fact that they cannot permanently control a believer, you know,
Amen.
We still have options. We can still get away from the devil, you know, and I guess that's that, you know, the verse says, get behind me, Satan. I mean, yeah, we can resist the devil, We can resist the devil. You know, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can resist the devil and we can resist evil things that come into our mind. And I mean, just we don't have to flow with it. We don't have to flow with it.
And it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not so much you need him. He'll get out of your way.
Right. That's right. Say the whole scripture. That's the important part of that scripture. He'll flee from you.
Thank you, God. Thank you. And so, second, the indefiniteness of the New Testament concerning the base of operation of demons in relation to Christians, coupled with the lack of direct commands after Pentecost to exorcise demons, may give us a clue as to how to fight the enemy. Normally, one should not look to exorcism as the way to attack demons, but rather one must use the normal weapons of our warfare against Satan and his demons. Who knows what an exorcism is?
That's where the priest come in with, and he do the cross, and he says some words, and all of that. But he's trying to get the demon out of you, like the he tried to do on that movie, The Exorcist.
Right.
And but the demon was more powerful than he was.
Yeah, because he was weak. The priest was weak.
Yes.
The priest had some demons in him.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was fighting some demons too.
Yes.
Okay, great. So it's when the I'll say the pastor or the priest, because it's not only a Catholic thing, but when the clergy, the clerk or the clergy rather, removes or tries to exorcise to get out of the individual the demon that has possessed them.
Amen.
So the releasing of the demon. Okay, so the Christian.
No, I said thank you.
Okay, more than welcome. The Christian should treat demon molestation as he would resist temptation or fight against the activities of his flesh. He should examine himself to see if there are any areas of rebellion against the law or will of God. Confess any and all known sins. Rely on the power of the indwelling spirit who is greater than Satan, 1 John 4:4. And use all the armor of God, Ephesians 6:13-18. So I don't know if you read 1 John 4:4. Did you read that?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't do this. This paragraph is where we left off at.
Okay, so Evangelist, would you get 1 John 4:4? And First Lady, would you get Ephesians 6:13-18, please?
Yep.
1 John 4:4. Talking about the indwelling spirit is greater than Satan. Now, what is the indwelling spirit?
It's the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Indwelling spirit.
Hallelujah. And some people think it's on you as opposed to being in you.
Right.
But we know differently. It's in you.
We know differently, right?
Exactly. It's in you. Then
okay.
You ready?
1 John 4:4 says, I'm reading from the New Living, but you belong to God. My dear children, you have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And let me just read what the message says. Starts at 4:4-6. I may not read the whole two verses. It says, my dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won victory over those false teachers. Well, the spirit in you is far stronger than anything in the world. These people belong to the Christ-denying world. They talk the world's language, and the world eats it up. But we come from God and belong to God. Anyone who knows God understands us and listens. The person who has nothing to do with God will, of course, not listen to us. This is another test for telling the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception. Amen. Does anybody find that?
Amen.
You are false.
Oh, definitely true.
Definitely true.
Have you experienced it?
Experience what?
What I just read.
Oh.
Experience the fact that the world doesn't want to listen to you, especially when you come talking about God.
Yeah.
They'd rather be deceived, all right? It's another test.
Yeah, I experienced that with my niece.
Okay, let me finish reading. You didn't understand it, so listen to what I'm trying to read to you. It says, this is another test for telling the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, like every time when we have a get together and stuff, my niece would tell me, they call me Aunt Pudding. She said, Aunt Pudding, we don't want no preaching today. We just want to have, you know, eat, drink, and have some fun. I was like, okay, it's your house, and you don't want to hear the word of God. That's fine with me.
Uh-huh.
You have to answer to him, not me. I got to answer for me. You got to answer for you. So if you don't want him here in the midst of everything, that's on you.
What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Nothing?
No, I'm just, I thought I had answered
it. Is it frustrating? Is it frustrating, though? I mean, it's like, how do you feel when
that
happens?
Yeah, it's frustrating if you,
you get frustrated.
Want to preach the word of God to, you know, family members and they don't want to hear it. Yeah, it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But to me,
you
know, to me it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as Ecclesiastes 3 says, there's a time and purpose for everything under the sun.
True.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I thought that was the time and present to speak about the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
It's like you know, it's like when that person is ready to accept it, because you know there was a time and purpose. I think I had told you, you know, how I used to evangelize to my brother, and he would be like, "I don't want to hear that now. Don't come to me with that."
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a time when he received it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you still don't give up on those on people who resist it. You just pray and ask God to open up their heart so they can receive it.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, you just you don't drop the seed. I mean, it ain't up to us to. God only wants us to drop the seed. You know,
that's it.
Plant the seed.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that God and Jesus, well, I'll just say this. Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's to be received in a loving kind of way. If they're rebelling, they don't want to hear it, then that's not the time to drop it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a gathering, you didn't come here to preach. You came to, okay, say the grace. You know, say a prayer. But we don't have to try to convert anybody every time we get together, especially if you know they don't want to hear it.
But that's
you know
what I was doing. I was saying the grace.
But saying the grace is different from trying to, you know, bring a sermon.
Well, I wasn't bringing the sermon. She just made sure that she'd say what she had to say. Like, no preaching tonight, honey.
Okay.
So I was like, okay.
Okay.
You know, so, it was a Thanksgiving time.
Uh-huh.
And we were all in a circle, and everybody mm-hmm. was, you know, saying to God what they were thankful for. And that's how it all started. But anyway, let's go on with the lesson.
Yes, ma'am. So anyway, Ephesians 6:13-18, a very familiar passage. Ephesians 6:13-18.
So it reads, because of this, take up the full armor of God in mm-hmm. order that you may be able to resist in the evil day. Mm-hmm. And having done everything to stand. Stand, therefore, girdling your waist with truth and putting on the breastplate of righteousness mm-hmm. and the binding shoes under your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace. In everything, taking up the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit, and to this end, bring alert with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
Amen. Thank you. And I like to read the message when it says, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. All the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. And this last one I read. And don't forget to pray for me. Pray that I'll know what to say and have the courage to say it at the right time, telling the district to one and all the message that I, Gail Bird, preacher that I am responsible for getting out. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank
God.
Paul. Gail Bird, preacher that I am.
Gail Bird that I am. I'm responsible. Tell you about
Gail Bird, preacher that I am. I like that.
Yes. And that's why he was in jail, because of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He was in jail because he wouldn't stop preaching about the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
So even if exorcism may be called for in some extreme instances, the exorcist cannot prevent demons from attacking the same person again. For no human being can guarantee to bind demons or send them into the abyss. Paul reminds us that we struggle against the powers of darkness all our lives. Mm. Therefore, the Christian must be alert. Peter 5:8, Evangelist, when we're ready, would you get 1 Peter 5:8?
Okay.
Be clothed in God's armor. And use all the things that contribute to healthy spirituality. The First Lady, Romans 12:2, and 2 Corinthians 10:5, and Philippians 4:8. A note of caution, not all problems are initiated by demons. Not all physical illnesses, not all emotional problems, not all sins. Some rise from natural causes, some from the flesh, casting out demons would do no good in such instances, but fighting the good fight of faith will benefit in all things. Amen. Amen. So what did we learn from that? that last paragraph, basically. And then we'll have the scriptures.
Yeah, I mean, because you can't blame everything, you know, that happens on demons, you know.
Amen.
And
right.
It's like we are of flesh, and we have
mm-hmm.
fleshly desires, too, you know.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so, you know, so we can't all say that every time something is wrong with somebody over here, that they got demons running through them.
Exactly. Devil made me do it. Get out of here, devil. You know, I mean, it's not
yeah.
always the devil.
Yeah, he
right.
can do nothing.
And I say a lot that people give him too much credit. They
mm-hmm.
talk more about the
mm.
devil than they talk about Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, stop it. Don't, you know, don't give him all that credit. It's not always him. Sometimes
yeah.
Jesus
mm-hmm.
allows things to come into our lives, too.
Yes,
it's,
you know,
right
to
exactly.
strengthen
them. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we had read earlier that, you know, that when we had read this earlier about Paul, that
mm-hmm.
thorn in his side was, you know, it was something that God gave him so that he wouldn't
mm-hmm.
get
yes.
too bold, too,
right.
too
so he won't
you know,
be
puffed,
so
up.
Prideful.
Puffed up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He kept asking him to remove it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him his grace is sufficient.
Exactly.
Right.
So what do you think that thorn was? Do you have any idea?
Nobody knows. Some scholars said that it was epilepsy, or it could have been, leprosy, but I don't think it was that either, because nobody said
it couldn't have been leprosy told. Because he was around people, like it wasn't, you know, the lepers were cast they couldn't be around other people, lepers
mm-hmm.
right, they separated, had to be separate. But what my question
mm-hmm.
was not what the scholars say, but what do you think?
Oh,
yeah, I
don't
have any speculation.
No idea what he had.
I just know.
Okay.
I just feel like the thorn in the side is something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is some type of affliction, you know.
Yeah.
It could be any
Definitely.
Type of affliction.
Definitely.
You know, and
he kept asking for it
and,
to be removed.
And I think we all have some kind of thorn.
You're
know.
Right. We do.
Mm-hmm. 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 And sometimes God just, you know, sometimes God heals, and sometimes God, you know, just doesn't.
Right.
And that's for a purpose, too, you know, because maybe you need more of a spiritual healing than you need a physical healing. And that's
right.
what he says, well, you know,
exactly.
my grace is.
Exactly. Yes. So,
and I
so.
Thought that the affliction might have been, remember when he was blinded and the
uh-huh.
scales were on his eyes for 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
That could have contributed to some of the affliction. You know, maybe he couldn't see as well or something. The thorn in his side.
Oh, yeah, I read something like that, that it may
mm-hmm.
have been glaucoma.
Something that caused him not to see as well, glaucoma.
Yeah.
And it was something else that came to mind. It escapes me right now, but it was like two things that I thought it could possibly be. But we don't know.
The vision would have really,
said.
We don't know. But if it was a vision thing, I don't know if he would have been able to write all those letters he wrote if he had a vision problem.
No,
you know
but remember,
Paul wrote a lot of
letters. But listen, a lot of those things were dictated.
Right.
They were dictated.
Right.
They were dictated.
Gave them,
absolutely right.
He gave them to Phoebe. He gave it
mm-hmm.
to Timothy.
Yes.
You know, he dictated a lot
true.
Of stuff. So that would not necessarily mean the reason that he couldn't write. You know,
right.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
he spoke
yeah.
the word and someone else put it down. But
that's
just a
right.
thought,
right.
you know, food for thought. We
yeah.
don't know. They didn't explain. And we just know
mm.
it was some sort of affliction that he wanted
right.
to get rid of. And it might yeah. have been even bearing the cross of Jesus and having to be persecuted every time he spoke about it around, you know, certain people.
Exactly.
You know, why every time I talk
that
about Jesus,
itself.
They want to beat me, kick me, throw me out, spit in my face.
Right.
Why, that's true.
That's what I would be calling. God, can you stop these people from bothering me while I'm preaching your word?
Why every time I call your name, I get hit?
Yeah, I get beaten half to death or thrown in the burial place where all the dead is, and I'm still alive.
Yes.
No, he probably said, "I know I was evil to your people, Lord. I know I persecuted your people, but just take this away from me so I don't have to get persecuted, okay, Lord?"
Can you help a brother? Amen.
Can you help a brother?
But in all his suffering, he got stronger and stronger instead of weaker.
Yeah, exactly. Because we too know that in our, when we're weak, God makes us strong. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When we're poor, God makes us rich. You know? When we're thirsty, he quenches our thirst.
It's
something else. It's really something else. So, First Lady, would you take Romans 12:2? And then I'm going to give our evangelist 2 Corinthians 10:5, and then First Lady, take Philippians 1:8 again, okay?
Absolutely.
12:2.
Romans 12:2. She didn't do first.
First Peter 5:8 says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So when you're weak and you are hurting, that's when he attacks you.
Amen.
So you got to stay strong, even in your suffering. You got to stay strong and prayerful and just continue to ask God to strengthen you each and every time. Because otherwise, that devil, them little imps of his will get you.
Don't stop praying.
Don't stop praying.
Your eyes on the prize.
That's right. Absolutely. Stay alert.
Amen.
Romans 12:2 says,
and do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may approve what is the good and well pleasing and perfect will of God.
Yes.
Amen. Let me see what this one says. 12:2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is 1:2. I'm sorry. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Mm. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Hallelujah. The culture around you drags you down, so you have to be more mature and don't sink to that level of immaturity. Amen. Because God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. But I know that when we get in certain situations, you know, especially when a back and forth situation, sometimes we sink to that level. We gotta, we gotta get out of that. We gotta get out of that.
Amen.
That is an affliction for some people. I know that that's you know, that's the a trigger that sets them off. You know, so and so said bam, bam, bam. So I gotta say bam, 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 bam. No, no, don't have to do that. And my thought is that if you don't do that, what's gonna happen? If you don't do that, what's gonna happen? Anybody wanna respond?
Well, what's not going to happen is that. Go ahead.
No, I said what's going to happen. Not what's not going to happen. What's going to happen?
It'll probably end up being, you know, peace.
Ooh, scared of that. Don't want none of that. I don't want that. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It'll probably be peace. Hallelujah. But it's not easy. But the deal is, do you want to win the argument or do you want peace? I want peace. I refuse to argue with people. Give me peace. You got a choice.
Yes.
You got a choice.
Absolutely.
And my thought is that, okay, so you don't argue back. You don't cuss them out. You don't, you know, not to mention put your hands on them. You don't do that, period. But you don't sink to their level. You show a sense of maturity.
Right.
And when you do that, the outcome, as Lady Nadine has said, is peace. Peace. And folks are scared of peace.
Yes, because it surpasses all understanding.
All understanding. That's right.
Exactly. You know, with the other party might not say, well, I don't know why she didn't come back at me. You know, getting into a heated battle about shoes be flying and whatnot across the room, but right now, I mean, she's at peace. What's going on? It's profound. And they may not do it in your face. They may not, you know, look perplexed in your face. But trust me, when they go away, they're going to be wondering why. I called her all kinds of names. I did. She said nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and you know what? That's an evangelistic time, too, because if they really think about it, they want to know. They want to know. What is it?
Yes.
What is it that makes you so not come at me?
What does he
have? The Holy Spirit.
What does he have that makes him like that? So at peace. My God. And not saying that you're not upset. Now, nobody said, you know, it's not going to have you seething inside. But you don't let them see it.
Right.
They don't know how you feel it because you at peace.
Yes.
You at peace.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to go for a walk. You can if you want to, but you can stay right there.
Yes, and still have a smile on your face.
You can still be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, in my estimation, peace is not always about smiling. You might not be smiling. You might be crying.
Yes.
And
you know God don't like when a woman cries.
He doesn't?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
He do not like it when you make a woman cry.
Okay.
What about a man cry?
I know, right?
That'll be a scripture.
You got a scripture for that?
I can't remember where I read it, but I read
it. Okay, homework.
Yes. Because, I don't know if I ever read that. God don't like when a woman cries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
he
likes.
All right, we're gonna go on to 2 Corinthians 10:5, Evangelist. I'm writing it down. I'm trying to be smart.
Second Corinthians 10:5. Okay. 5 says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Amen.
Can you read it one more time? I'm sorry.
10:5 says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
Wonderful, beautiful. That's talking about a healthy spirituality.
Oh, right, right, right.
Romans, 2 Corinthians, and now First Lady Philippians 4:8.
And it reads, finally, brothers. Oh, I love this. Oh, I love this scripture.
I love it too, but I can't remember what it is. Yes.
Finally, brothers, whatever things are true.
True.
Whatever things are honorable. Mm-hmm. Whatever things are right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever things are pure,
mm-hmm.
whatever things are pleasing, whatever things are commendable, if there is any excellence of character, and if anything praiseworthy, think about these things.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Praise God.
Mm.
Getting back to that disagreement, that's what we focus
yes.
on when we're going through stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 4:8. My God. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful.
Focus on Philippians 4:8.
4:8.
Amen. So we're going to... Did we finish? We finished that paragraph. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you want to go on to the... That's beautiful. You want to go to the next one? The man, section 7, man, the image of God.
Well, we can do the first paragraph, I guess. We got how much time we got? It's 7:45.
We got 16 minutes.
Okay. And I just have to read what I did miss on my own because it was so good.
Yes,
but anyway,
really was.
I was reading 27, and I'm like, oh, okay. But anyway, okay. Chapter 29, Evolution and Origins. We're talking about man.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly no subject is more widely debated in various forums today than this question of how man originated. The
mm-hmm.
night before I wrote these words, our local TV news gave several minutes of coverage to two creationists who were seeking to show that the discovery of some human bones made naturalistic evolution impossible. Cases concerning the teaching of scientific creationism in the public schools have given nationwide publicity to this subject. The debate over inerrancy has rightfully included discussion concerning the historicity of the Genesis
mm-hmm.
account of creation. A number of views for acceptance even among evangelicals. All right.
Ooh,
any thoughts
it's
about
be good.
That?
It's gonna be good.
Any thoughts about
because
that?
We were just
yes,
talking
ma'am.
About this. We were just talking about this, Robert, because he sits in these classes and he.
Uh-huh.
You know, the classes, you know, they're teaching our children evolution,
mm-hmm.
of course. They're teaching them evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and these kids are, you know, coming to us, so I guess they come to their parents and they're like, you know, what's this about? You know, this ain't saying nothing about no Adam and Eve, and God creating Adam is saying that, you know, this whole story of evolution is that, you know, started with a gene, and then, you know, the gene became an animal. You know, this whole from ape to man type of,
right.
You know, the creation of evolution. So this is going to be very interesting.
Point of view instead of a
yeah.
biblical point of view.
Right.
So I'm writing down the homework. I'm going to get back to that in 1 minute. Miss Hilda's assignment.
You writing it down, Hilda?
Yes, I am. I know you're not.
Barbara writing it. Is Hilda writing it?
I got it. God doesn't like it when women cry.
When All right. cry. Okay, and she's going to give us a chapter and verse.
Yeah.
All right, what's the scripture for that one, madam?
Mm-hmm.
Scripture. Okay, and today is 11:09. You know, this year is going.
Yeah.
Going. Yeah, tomorrow I gave birth.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. I
so
gave birth
the first
to Shani.
Oh,
congratulations.
Happy birthday for me, for us.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That was a rough one.
And birthday wishes.
11.
And Jay's birthday is next week, Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I don't want to forget.
Yeah.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Saturday.
Oh,
who's that
right,
again?
Right.
Jake.
Yeah. Oh, Jacob.
Jake, did we send you money?
No,
you
I have the card. Only Valerie and Dee put their money in the card.
I thought his birthday was the 20th.
It is the 20th.
Isn't that next week?
Oh,
yeah,
no, it's not
next week.
It's next week, Saturday.
Not this Saturday, next Saturday.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to send him something on my own. I didn't send him
anything.
Yeah, I know I can. That's what I'm telling you. I got his address yesterday.
That means from the for the church.
Okay.
Mhm.
Now I had told her I was going to send him something on my own, so I just have to get it out. I have to get a card. I have a card, but I want to get him something, you know, more special. But anyway,
okay.
What do you think? Getting back to this evolution and origins, what do you think about creationism? Scientific creationism. That's what our Lady Nadine was just speaking about, how they don't teach about God. They teach about, you know, evolution from an ape.
Yeah. Nah. I don't even read that nonsense. So.
Well, it's in schools. It's a part of the curriculum in schools.
Well, it should
be. And that's
be.
Why I think that us going, well, they're not. Yeah, you know, they don't religion in school. But I think it's good that we're going.
You do have schools that
I'm
do teach
about public
religion
schools.
Now. Yeah, public schools,
no, I'm talking
maybe
about
not.
Public schools.
Right.
Because the public schools is who is pushing, you know, the public schools are teaching evolution.
Exactly.
You know, Christian schools, like Catholic schools and other Christian schools are, I'm sure that they're not teaching evolution.
Right. And don't forget,
but I'm glad.
Don't forget, we can't mix state and religion.
Right.
So not that they don't believe that, but they're not supposed to teach religion in public places like that
anymore. Yeah.
But it is the truth.
Yep.
I mean, You know, it is the truth. But we have scientists that have tried to disprove that, and they've shown, you know, bones were here and they're 5 million years old or more. I think Eve, the first side of the skeleton of a lady, remember that one? That they say
right, and everybody, you know, originated from her, the black woman.
From her, right. They say she's 5 million years old, and she was a black woman, and we all came from her.
Amen. Right.
And you know that certain people don't want to believe they came from a black something, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So that's a problem.
But, you know, they're white scientists have come up with this, proven that this is what.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's not an inside deal. So, but also, while we're on the subject and we got a couple of minutes, what do you think about critical race theory? You familiar with that, right? Everybody on the line.
No. I don't know what that is.
You don't know what critical race theory is? They talking about it all on. Okay, I'm telling you, it's where they want to teach what happened with the oppressors and the oppressed. In other words,
oh, you mean the 1619 theory?
I'm trying to tell you that they don't want
to. Is that
the
same thing?
That's a part of it, but they don't want. That's a different thing by itself. They don't want that taught in the schools either. But I'm talking about beyond the 1619, when we had people of a different persuasion enslaving us and telling us things that were wrong and holding us down and really oppressing us, actually, not giving us jobs, and we couldn't read and we couldn't go here and we had to sleep with the master and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know if they're going to get into it like that. But I'm saying that's what they do not want taught in schools. And
right,
you know why.
Right.
Evangelist, have you heard of that?
Somewhat. But I know that all of that, what you just said, I kind of like saw that on TV or something that they had like what you call it, biograph, where they were talking about it on the History Channel.
Oh, okay. But I want you guys to keep your eyes open for that. I mean, it's something that they do not want taught in public schools from kindergarten through the 12th grade. They say they're teaching it in law schools, but they don't want it to be taught to younger students because it's going to cause the younger people of a particular persuasion to be feeling inferior and to feel like they are bad people because of what their ancestors have done. So keep your eye on that. Critical race theory, please.
Yeah.
Okay?
I see it now. But you know what? It's so interesting because the first time, you know, I've ever saw the whole civil rights era taught exactly the way it was truthfully was in Shawnee school. And Shawnee went to a school that was predominantly, her middle school was predominantly white. And when they did the civil rights era, you know, they did it so truthfully, you know, that the white kids were coming up to Shawnee apologizing.
Oh,
it was a very traumatic thing, but the school kept teaching it. The school, because that school not only did it teach the civil rights era, you know, it went into details about the civil rights. They went into details about the Holocaust. They went into details about every culture, you know, history. And Shawnee came home and she says, "Oh my God, all my white kids are apologizing to me." Because Shawnee already knew it, you know, because she, you know, I made sure both of my daughters were very, you know, knowledgeable about their history. So these are things that Shawnee.
A private school?
It's public. It's a public school.
Public
Shawnee
school?
Went to. Yes, yes, yes. She went to public school. I never went to, she never didn't go to any private schools. And this is so interesting because there, the public school that she went to, this particular public school, it just boggles my mind that these are public schools in Manhattan that were predominantly white. It just never, they were very diverse. They were very diverse schools. Her middle school was on 70th and West End.
Well, that's kind of going white.
You were in the white
that's
neighborhood.
That's like a white section now. Come on.
Exactly. But the
my
thing
brother
about
lived
it
around,
was is that.
My brother lived around there, around West End. Mm-hmm. I think it was a hotel or something around there on the, what do you call it, near the highway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Her
high school was on 60th Street between 10th and 11th Avenue, right next to the project. You know, there's a project there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
her high school was right there near the project. That project is not multi. There's some whites in there, but ain't that many whites in that project. And her high school
really
was predominantly white.
I was going to ask you, who was the population of the project?
The project
is predominantly
black.
Black? Huh? Wow.
Yes. That project. I used to see patients in that same project. And I saw this high school over there, right? I'm like, so where are these white kids coming from? You know, and when she was, then she, you know, because she went from that school on 70th Street to this other school, you know, it's called Beacon High School. And Beacon High, her middle school was more diverse than Beacon High School. When she went into Beacon High School, in her ninth grade class, her intervening class, there were five blacks.
Wow.
And where did all these white kids come from? They came from Park Slope in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
What?
Park Slope in Brooklyn, the majority of them.
Wow.
So I was like always freaking, I was baffled. Like, how these, you got these black people living right here in these projects, and you got
and
these white kids coming in from Park Slope here to this public school?
But didn't they have to take a test to get in there?
No test. It was just an interview.
No test?
Interview. She went on two interviews.
Okay.
You know, and of course they looked at her record and stuff like that, but those schools weren't
test
schools. Mm-mm. Not like Stuyvesant, you know, those schools, Stuyvesant. Those were the specialized schools that require tests. Brooklyn Tech. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Academia Stuyvesant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting, though, that she had such a, I don't want to say segregated, but such a segregated, you know.
It was diverse.
Yeah,
it was as diverse as can be, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was
that's
diverse.
Nice, though.
But
that's
Atiyah
nice.
Atiyah did the same thing, but Atiyah went, too. Mhm.
The main nice thing is that they taught what you just said. They taught
exactly
because they're making it sound like they don't teach that in schools. Maybe then they did, but at this point they're saying that's not taught in public schools. So don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it is being taught or has been taught. Maybe not now, but has been taught. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what they're
absolutely
afraid of. That, like you said, when the white kids came and they apologized to Shawnee because they got the revelation of what happened to their ancestors, that's what they're afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they do get that, maybe then they won't continue to perpetuate the racism
exactly
and the attitudes that they have towards us and take their knee off of our necks so that we can advance. That's what they're afraid of.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
so that they'll they will be more welcoming. Because again, we know that hatred starts in the home. That's where they teach them that. They don't learn that in
That's
school.
Right.
They maybe some places, but basically, when you see a little child like 3 years old of a different persuasion, and they're looking at you funny,
mm-hmm.
it's something somebody told that child something. You know,
yeah.
you have an interaction
yeah.
with that person. You didn't say nothing to him. You might have said, hi, you know, you're cute, or how you doing? How's that little whatever, dress, suit, whatever? And they look at you
mm-hmm.
like you did something to them. Somebody has said
mm-hmm.
something to them about your race.
Mm-hmm.
Trust
right.
and believe.
Right.
That's true.
Somebody
That's
said
true.
It. So
yeah.
that would maybe cause them to have to stop that. And I think I saw something about a law where they can't do that anymore, something like that. I can't quote it because I don't remember exactly what it was, but they had something against doing those kinds of things, you know, perpetuating
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's awesome. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. It was an eye-opener. So, Lady
yeah.
Nadine, we
yeah.
can bring us out of here.
Oh, yes. Ooh, dear God, we love you, Lord God. We praise your holy name, Lord God, because you are worthy of all the praise.
Yes.
You're worthy of all the glory, Lord God. Lord God, we know that you are in control of everything, Lord God. And
yes, you are.
Lord God, you are only about,
mm-hmm.
Lord God, though those may try to hide the truth, but
mm.
you are that light, Lord God, that will bring the truth to light. Anything that's done in the dark, Lord God, comes to the light, Lord God.
Yes.
Jesus
yes.
is the light of the world, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
And truth will prevail, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for this lesson, Lord God. We
yes.
thank you, Lord
yes.
God, for finding
thank
a
you.
Way to bring Sister Barbara back to us, Lord God,
hey.
Where we can have our lesson and have her with the gift you have given her, Lord God, to teach
yes,
these lessons, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God,
thank
for
you.
Working this out, Lord God.
Yes.
God,
thank
and thank
Lord.
You enough, Lord God. So, Lord God, we just want to bless your name, Lord God. We want
mm.
you to bless all those, Lord God, who are listening and those who have not been able to you know, to come on but maybe listening online, Lord God. I also want to pray, Lord God, for our church, Lord God, so that more
yes.
of our church members, Lord God, participate, Lord God, in these Bible study classes that we have,
yes.
Lord God.
Yes.
Lord God, because they are so, so, so important. They're so important to us. They're so
mm-hmm.
important to our church, Lord God. It's so important for us to know more about you, Lord God.
Yes.
So, Lord God, we just praying that you put that into the minds and hearts of our congregation, Lord God, because
have
we want to come and see what it is that you must say, Lord God, so have your way with that. And we
yeah.
just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for rushing home to get to the
yes.
Thank you so much. Love you all.
Love
you
too.
Beautiful.
Okay.
God willing, until the next time. Love you.
Yes.
Be safe.
Love you.
Love you.
Have
bye-bye.
A good evening, everyone.
Shalom. Amen.
You too.
Good
Shalom.
Night. Shalom.
I'm not playing the... Okay. I'm playing the music tonight. It's after 8 already. Now I got to look up that thing because that woman will not give me rest until I... give her scripture and word. But I'm going to Google it. Okay. Let me see what I come. Hell, I don't know how to Google stuff. No. No. Chico, sit down. Sit. Don't chew that. Sit down. You. Chico, sit. Don't you jump at me. Thank you. You have to learn to listen when I talk to you. All right, let me close this out. What am I doing? Oh, and so you may have the people hearing me.